Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
Well, good morning and welcome to Movement Church. My name is Mark and I'm the lead pastor here. And it's probably not every week you get to go to church and hear the Ghostbusters theme song. Maybe not every week you get to go to church and have some popcorn. So if you're new, if you're hanging out with us, I want to say this is normal, but we know it's not really normal. But anyway, we are glad that you are here. We're in this series called Movement at the Movies, and as already been said, we've been focusing on a different movie every week because people love movies. Some of us are the kind of person that that buys tickets for Star Wars like 2 months before it comes out, and you dress up in a costume. Some people like to be in a packed theater the first night that a movie comes out. Some of us are Netflix junkies who like to stay in our basement and watch our favorite movie 30 and 50 times again over and over and watch those things alone. But in some way, we're all into movies. We're all into stories. We love to talk about characters. We love to talk about the plot development. We love to talk about everything about our favorite stories and overanalyze those things. And so our goal in this series is just to use something that's common language in our society, something that speaks to people to help us communicate biblical truth. We're not saying that we get our theology from the movies or anything like that, but we believe that movies can help us communicate some truths in the Bible. And so we're looking at places that faith and film collide. And so without further ado, as you know, our movie of the day is themed on ghosts and all that fun stuff. And so we set this week up to be Ghostbusters week. Now, we wanted to hedge our bets a little bit because many of you know that there was a remake that came out this week of Ghostbusters. And you know how remakes go. Often they're terrible. Okay, all of the time, they're terrible, right? So we didn't know if the new Ghostbusters would actually be worth talking about. And so we wanted to just act like we were hipsters and really into the classics. So without further ado, here is a clip from the original Ghostbusters 1984 featuring Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and some other people, real 1980s all-stars like Rick Moranis, people that we know and love. All right. So that is a movie. I'll tell you a little bit more about it. But these are guys that are looking into paranormal activity and catching ghosts in New York City, 1984's Ghostbusters. Well, those are the guys who are supposed to be the experts. Those are the people that are being called when people see ghosts, and those are the ones that are supposed to know what to do. And you can see that as they stumble through that, it's like the first time, and they don't really know what's going to happen. I think that most of us would probably have to admit that we probably look at ghosts the same way. We don't want to talk about ghosts. We don't know anything about ghosts. We don't even know if ghosts exist. And so when we hear the words uttered in church, the Holy Spirit, we think, is that real? Is that like this? Is it like a green thing that kind of flies around? Is it something I should be afraid of? Is it something that's good? And oftentimes when we look at ghosts, when we look at anything that has the word spirit, we think, I don't know if that's real. I don't know what that is. And so we want to take this week and kind of just unpack the concept of the Holy Spirit. We want to look at the Holy Spirit. And our goal is not to catch the Holy Spirit and put him in a small electrical box. Our goal is not to be freaked out or to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. But our goal is simply to say, who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit mean? What should our lives look like? How should we act? How should we live knowing that the Holy Spirit exists? And so I want to invite you to open up your Bible if you've got one this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 16. If you didn't get a chance to bring a Bible, there's probably one under your chair, the chair next to you, the chair in front of you or behind you. Feel free to grab that. We're going to be on page 824. And the reason that we want to talk about this today, we've talked about the Holy Spirit before because it's something that we want to know. It's a part of the Trinity that we want to know. Sometimes we look at the Holy Spirit and we kind of let the Holy Spirit become the forgotten family member, right? We know who God the Father is. We know that he's the creator. We know that he's the judge. We know who Jesus his son is. We think of a baby being born in the manger in the Christmas story, and we think of a lot of good things. And yet when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we're just like, is he mysterious or spooky or good? And so John chapter 16 is gonna let us kind of look at this morning. We're gonna be on page 824, John chapter 16, verses 5 to 16. And off the record, I just want to say it's great to be back up here this week. I have a bunch of people that keep teasing me. They're like, do you still even work at this church? Because I haven't spoken in a few weeks. Because we had some interns and other people up here. So yes, I do still work here. Thank you for letting me teach Jackson. I really appreciate that today. But I had enough people tease me that I had to say something about it. So John chapter 16, verses 5 to 16. Let me read this and we can start looking at it together. It says this. This is Jesus talking toward the end of his earthly ministry, and he's beginning to paint a picture for the end of his time on earth and what the future will look like for his disciples and those that follow him. He says this, "But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. In a little while, you won't see me anymore. But a little while after that, you will see me again." And so this is Jesus, maybe for one of the first times that we can look at and really understand, referencing the Holy Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, describing the Holy Spirit, letting us have a peek into the Godhead, the Trinity, and describing exactly what we have and who the Holy Spirit is. And so who is the Holy Spirit? Well, in case you need kind of a reminder today, maybe just a few bullet points that we want to give you. He is a member of the Holy Trinity. He's a member of the Godhead. Maybe you've heard it said, God the Father, Christ the Son, the Holy Spirit. We have an amazing God that we get to see exist as three persons. And so sometimes we look at God and we see him from one angle and we see him as God the Father. There are other times we look at him and we see him as Christ the Son. There are other times that we look at him and we're looking at the attributes that we see as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of that Trinity, part of that unique, complex, difficult to understand and yet beautiful description that we have of God. The Holy Spirit is part of the Holy Trinity. We see this throughout Scripture. I don't know if the Old Testament audience would have looked at God and said, "I think that this God we're worshiping exists in three persons." I think sometimes we have the ability to read back into Scripture and look at that. But you look at the account of creation, and God said, "Let us make man in our own image." He was speaking in a plural sense. He was describing himself in three persons. When you talk about yourself as a primary person, you don't say "let us." You say "let me," right? Or you would refer to yourself as "I." You would never say "let us make man in our image." And yet that's what we see when we read back into Genesis. There are other examples. We look at the baptism of Jesus, and we see the Trinity was there. We see that Jesus came forward to be baptized as he began his earthly ministry. We see that God spoke down from heaven and said, "This is my Son." And we also see that a dove showed up in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so there's another example in the New Testament where we're seeing the Trinity, three different representations, three different pictures, one description of our triune God. And so the Holy Spirit is a member of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of the living God. There was a time on earth when Jesus was here, when he was living, when he was doing ministry, when he was accomplishing amazing things, and he was doing all of the miracles and different things that we see in Scripture. But in this passage, he was saying that he was going to go away. And yet he said that it was okay, it was part of his design that he would go away, because the one who was coming after him was greater. Now we know that Jesus is a pretty good guy, right? We know that Jesus is a pretty big deal. And so for someone to say, "Yeah, the one that I'm going to send to you, the one that's coming after me, he's incredible," that would have to be someone who could fill the shoes of Jesus, and the Spirit of the living God can fill those shoes. And so that's what we've been given with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, part of our triune God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God, and the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us our gifts. He's the giver of our spiritual gifts. We see this in Ephesians 4. Many of you have read that passage, and you know that the Holy Spirit decides what gift each one of us have that will contribute to the body of Christ, how we will be able to build up other believers, how we'll be able to help the church become mature, how we'll be able to give to the church and to sacrifice. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who decides those gifts, who gives those gifts, who enable those gifts, and lets us work and lead. And so the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us gifts. He's the Spirit of the living God. And so sometimes I think we have this view where the Holy Spirit is confusing and he's mystical and he's a ghost. And I want you to know this, because Scripture says this plainly, that if you have given your life to God, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if he is living in you and you are living for him, that you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so here's our big idea for this morning. This is something that might seem simple, and yet I think it's profound. If he lives in you, then he lives in you. If Jesus is a part of your life, if Jesus is in your life, if you have given your life to Jesus, if Jesus lives in you, then the Holy Spirit lives in you. You have been given the Holy Spirit. You've been trusted with the Holy Spirit. You've been given spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a part of your life to guide you and do all of the things that Jesus just described in that passage. If he lives in you, then he lives in you. Now, why do we say that? Because I think all too often, many of us as believers, those of us who would say that we are spiritual, we are Christ followers, we are Christians, we've grown up in the church, we don't trust that. If I would say, do you have a relationship with Jesus? You would say, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But sometimes we don't trust that the Holy Spirit is alive in us and leading us and guiding us. And so the Holy Spirit says things to us. The Holy Spirit prods us and points things out and tells us someone that we need to befriend at work, or brings a certain neighbor to mind, or someone that we can talk to, someone that we can minister to. The Holy Spirit points out to us, hey, I gave you this gift for a reason so that you can use it. And we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. We're not walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And so we would never doubt that we have a relationship with Jesus. We would never doubt that he's not there for us. He's not a part of our life, and that we absolutely need him. But sometimes we like to conveniently forget. Sometimes we like to conveniently not remember or not realize or not listen to the Holy Spirit as he operates and as he lives inside of us and as he speaks to us. There's a passage I've already mentioned that says that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. I love the concept of something that's sealed. I think in our culture, we probably think of food many times when we think of something being sealed, right? We just like food, right? That's okay. I like food too. You don't have to think I'm calling us a bad culture or anything. But we probably have those memories of like cracking open a bag of Doritos. Maybe that's just me. I really like Doritos, right? And there's that first time you get that smell and you just think like, yep, that was sealed for me. God set this moment aside so that I could smell that and so that it could go right into my nostrils, and everything in life is good, right? And so there's something magical about a sealing, right? Not a sealing like a ceiling, but a sealing of a bag. And when food is sealed, and we've all probably at one point or another opened a bag that we thought was sealed and tasted something that we thought was sealed. It often involves Doritos at our house too, right? Maybe because our little brother could never put the chip clip on, right? And he would just wind the bag up and put it in there. And you'd go to get one of your favorite snacks, and biting into that Dorito was like biting into a soggy sponge, right? And so that bag had not been sealed, and things had been compromised. And so when I think of something being sealed, I think of it being completely taken care of. I think of it being basically in its own environment. The Holy Spirit is sealed into our lives and sealed into our hearts. If we have surrendered our lives to Jesus, we've been given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to leave us. The Holy Spirit is not going to walk away. The Holy Spirit is not going to stop bringing things to our mind and our emotions and our memory. The Holy Spirit is living with us and walking with us, and we can be in step with him, and we can listen to him, and we can let him guide us. We have to trust and know that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, but we don't often do that. If you were here at the beginning, it was already mentioned that our band did a cover of the Ghostbusters theme song. Recently, I think Missy Elliott and Fall Out Boy came out with a new cover for the movie that's flopping right now this weekend. Actually, I think it's doing okay. I like to think that our band is much better than Fall Out Boy and Missy Elliott, because I'm not sure who put those two together, but it doesn't make any sense. But anyway, the main line in that song is they keep saying it over and over again. Who are you going to call? Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. We all know that line. We've all sang that line. You've probably seen this movie. You know that line. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. And yet when I think of that line, I think it's got a certain urgency, because if you lived in New York in the 1980s and a ghost showed up at your house, calling the cops would be a kind of good idea, right? Maybe they could come and say, please go away, ghost. Or they could try to talk to it real nicely and show some, some form of looking tough. But in the 1980s in New York, if you had a ghost, there was only one team that you could call, right? There was only one group of people. If you wanted someone to show up in a weird looking hearse and have suits and guns that they wore on their back that could zap ghosts and put them in a box and take them to another dimension or whatever, you didn't call the firefighters, with all due respect to the firefighters. And you didn't call your counselor. You called the Ghostbusters. And I was thinking about that line this week. Who are you going to call? There's many things that the Holy Spirit does for us. There's many things that the Holy Spirit provides for us. There's many things that we're told the Holy Spirit can be in our lives and in our relationship with God. We're told that we've been given the Holy Spirit. We're told that we can walk in step with the Holy Spirit. We're told that the Holy Spirit guides us and convicts us of sin and is a representation of God that is with us. And so when we need a representation of God with us, when we need guidance, when we need convicted of sin, when we need something, when we're crying out for something, when our life lacks something, the question of that song is, who are you going to call? All too often, I don't think we think, you know, I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit because God has entrusted me with the Holy Spirit. He's entrusted me with a part of himself, and he's here to walk beside me. And so I'm going to lean on him. I'm going to depend on him, and I'm going to look to him. I tried to keep a list of things that I depend on this week. Sometimes that list is the Holy Spirit, and sometimes that list is many other things. I'm stressed. I should get my phone out and look at something. That'll make me forget about it. I had a bad day. I should go running. Running always makes me feel better. The political climate of America is kind of weird right now. I bet Fox News will tell me exactly what I need to know. Or CNN, depending on which side you're on. Fill in your joke there, right? Right? Think about the things that we look to in any given week to make us feel better. It might even be a bag of Doritos if you're like this guy, right? There are different things we're talking about, but think about the things that you call on, the things that you depend on, the things that you look to guide you, to comfort you, to lead you. Think about the things that you're looking to be a functional Holy Spirit. God has entrusted us with a piece of himself, the person of himself. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and he said, I'm here to guide you. I'm here to lead you. I'm here to talk to you. I'm here to convict you of sin. I'm here to paint a very clear picture of God's righteousness and judgment and motivate you as you live your life for me and continue to surrender and give your life to me. So stay in step with me. If you think of an army marching, you think of a band marching, the goal is to stay in step with one another. That's what God is asking us to do with him. Not that we're perfect. Not that we can just magically say, all right, I'm going to act like God. But the Holy Spirit draws things out of us and leads us, tells us when to step, where to go, how to act, what to do, how to live for him, and keeps us in step and living and walking with God. That's what we've been gifted. That's what we've been sealed with. That's what we've been asked to depend on. And yet we look to so many other things. Your thing might not be Fox News, might not be Doritos, it might be your job, it might be your salary, it might be the amount of hours that you put in at your job, because it makes you feel important, it makes you feel like you have a purpose. I don't know what that thing is for you. God has given us the Holy Spirit. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. If he is in you, then he is in you. And he's asked us to stay in step with the Holy Spirit as we live for God, as we depend on God. I want to just give us a list of how the Holy Spirit serves us, because it sounds good to say, try to keep up with the Holy Spirit, give your lives to him, talk to him, feel good, do what he says. And sometimes I think we just need reminded, okay, but what is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? What does it look like for me to live surrendered to the Holy Spirit? Well, here's how the Holy Spirit serves you. He goes where you go. You've been given the Holy Spirit. You've been entrusted with the Holy Spirit. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. There's nowhere that you can go that the Holy Spirit isn't with you. So when you made a mistake one night after work and went out with some people that you shouldn't have gone out with, and the Holy Spirit was saying, we shouldn't be here, we shouldn't be doing this, It's not like you went on the wrong street downtown and suddenly the Holy Spirit wasn't there to tell you that. The Holy Spirit goes where you go. And so when you're in places that you shouldn't be at, he's still there with you. The Holy Spirit is guiding you, giving you courage, giving you clarity of thought. The Holy Spirit goes where you go. And so when you're out at the end of yourself and you're operating in a place that you don't want to be, maybe you're in a place where you're sharing your faith and you're scared and you don't know where you are, the Holy Spirit is there with you. When you're where you should be, the Holy Spirit is with you. When you're where you shouldn't be, the Holy Spirit is with you. When you're in a place where you're terrified, the Holy Spirit is with you. When you're in a place that you're all too confident, the Holy Spirit is with you. There is nowhere that you can go, nowhere that you can think about going, nowhere that you can be called to go that the Holy Spirit isn't with you. We have many people in this room who have been to Haiti. We have a church-to-church partnership down there. We send teams a few times a year. Our people go down there and we don't even really know the language. We talk to people, we try to communicate. Many know English. The Holy Spirit doesn't stop at the American border, right? He doesn't say, oh, you're going to Haiti. That's the poorest country in the world. Things are really bad down there. Good luck, guys. No, the Holy Spirit says, I will go with you. I will be with you. I will guide you. I will lead you. The Holy Spirit goes everywhere that we can go, everywhere that we should go. He's with us. He's guiding us. He goes where you go. He convicts you of sin. I've already alluded to this in a bunch of different ways. But if we've surrendered our life to Jesus, we've said, Lord, I want to live my life for you. And that might mean that might mean getting rid of some of the things that have been in my life. That might mean changing of some of the things that happen in my life. There will be moments that the Holy Spirit will say, we shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. This is out of your character. This is out of God's character. We need to change our habits. We need to change our direction. It doesn't mean that in that moment, God doesn't love you or God doesn't still have a plan for you. But he's gifted us his Spirit to speak to us, to guide us, to clearly say, this is what I'm calling you to do. This is what I'm asking you to do. And so we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. He goes where you go. He convicts you of sin. He guides you in times of uncertainty. This is the part that I think applies to most people in this room. The Holy Spirit guides us in times of uncertainty. We don't have to put our hands up today, but if we said something like, how many of you were able to find something to worry about this week? I'm thinking like every hand in here would go up, right? Probably like a third of us statistically are afraid our job is going to get eliminated or are not sure if we're going to pass school or maybe our marriage isn't going great right now or we just broke up with someone or are afraid we're going to break up with someone. We have kids and they're not always perfect, right? And so that makes us nervous. We have parents and so they're not always perfect. We have brothers, we have sisters. Again, fill in the blank on whatever made you nervous this week, but I'm assuming something in your life is stressing you out, and you're not sure what you should do. You're not sure where you should go, how you should act. You're not sure what God is asking you to do. You're not sure if that thing that you're thinking about is a good idea or a bad idea, or if that would make you bold, or if that would make you stupid. And yet we're told that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that he leads us and guides us. He doesn't just guide us when the decision is obvious. When you woke up at 9 o'clock and at 9:30 you were sitting at your house ready to go and you thought, I'm going to go to church today. Right? That's not the only decision that he tells you in a week. He tells you the decision, yeah, your time is done at this company, but I need you to trust me. Yeah, it's going to be tough to stay in your marriage right now, but I need you to trust me. Yeah, I wish that your sister wouldn't have talked like that about you, but I want you to love her anyway and restore that relationship. When you're uncertain, when the decision is uncertain, when times are uncertain, the Holy Spirit is saying, trust me, follow me, do what I'm asking you to do. Some of you might know that my wife is out of town for the weekend. She's having a girls' weekend with her sisters, pedicures and stuff like that. I don't know, I've never been to a girls' weekend. No one invites me, but I have my parents in town because I'm incapable of parenting my kids alone, basically. And so I was looking at all the parallels this week, the ways that we should be depending on the Holy Spirit and the ways that I've come to depend on my wife. I went to do my daughter's hair yesterday, and I just thought, like, how do you do this, right? And then at times, Kristen coaches me, and she says, like, you need to spray their hair down. You need to put this product in. I always part it. I do ponytails, pigtails, whatever. And as I thought about it, I'm like, okay, I can do this. I can do this, right? And I was picturing all the things she had told me, and I'm looking around. But there's moments where I just freak out, and I think, like, I can't do pigtails. I don't even have hair of my own. I haven't combed hair in, like, 10 years, and I don't know how to do this. I don't know what it looks like. Right? And so there are ways that I've come to depend on Kristen, and that just seems pretty natural and like a good thing to do, right? Because she's got a better idea of what's going on than me, and she knows what she's doing, and she makes me better, and everyone would agree that I don't know what I'm doing. And I was thinking about just the ways that we don't depend on the Holy Spirit. I mean, think about what we're saying when we don't depend on the Holy Spirit, the way that we're insulting God. Like, no. I hear what you're saying, God, and I know that you're the creator of the universe, and I know that you've existed for all time, and I know that the whole world is in your hands, and you've got a plan and control, but I think I know how to do this, right? And then we take things into our own hands, and we end up doing our daughter's hair and giving her like 7 pigtails that look crazy, right? And so we think that our plan is best, and God is saying, no, I've got this. I can show you how to do this. I've been talking to you. I've been showing you. You can depend on me. You can trust me. I'm not going anywhere. I make you better. This is God's plan. The reason that we wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit today wasn't so that we could have a couple lists and we could say, no, what is it that the Holy Spirit does again? Oh, he leads me, guides me. Yeah, that's good. Or that we could give you a bullet-pointed list of academic things like, hey, what is the Holy Spirit again? Oh, he's part of the Trinity. Yeah, that's right. That makes me feel really good. Those things are not going to transform your weekend. They're not going to transform your life. The question that's going to transform your life is, what are you going to do with the Holy Spirit? Knowing that you've been given the Holy Spirit, knowing that you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, knowing that the Holy Spirit is here to lead you and guide you and let you depend on Him, will you listen to the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit prompts you and tells you things that you should be listening to, things that you should care about, what will you do? Who do you call on when times are bad, when things are really, really bad? Who do you call on? Do you lean on your friends? Do you lean on your experience? Do you lean on that one friend who's so dependable? That friend's never let me down. Do you lean on your family? Or do you look to the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you? Do you doubt the Holy Spirit's presence? Are you doubting Scripture? Are you doubting the promises of God that you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit? If He is in you, then He is in you. Is your reminder for the day that you just need to trust that and know that and listen to the Holy Spirit? Do you trust the Holy Spirit? Do you trust His prompting and leading in the ways that He speaks into your life and speaks into situations in your life? Not would you say, yeah, I think I've had the Holy Spirit tell me something before. It's a pretty good idea. Trust doesn't mean that you hear someone. Trust means that you take a step. Trust means that you're willing to put your life in someone's hands. We've all done a trust fall, like in fifth grade gym class, right? Where you put your arms out and you fall back, and that one kid was supposed to catch you. He didn't, or he went way low, so you thought you were going to fall and crack your head open, but you didn't, right? But you can't stand up and say that you're going to do a trust fall and say, like, all right, I trust you, but I'm not going to do this. To say that you trust someone, you have to actually fall. You have to actually prove the point that you trust them enough to put your life and your well-being in their hands and to fall backwards. To say that you trust the Holy Spirit, you trust His leading, you trust the way He's speaking into your life, you trust the things that He's put in your emotions and in your heart, you're going to be obedient to those things. You're going to follow in those things. You're going to do those things. That is why God gave us the Holy Spirit. So do you trust the Holy Spirit? Do you depend on the Holy Spirit? Do you rely on the Holy Spirit? Do you look to the Holy Spirit? Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the reminder that you've given us your Spirit, Lord. God, I pray that we will be people who depend on the Holy Spirit, that we will be a church who depends on the Holy Spirit? Or that sounds like a really good thing to do, and yet it's so difficult when we're stressed, when we're worrying, when things have us worked up. God, we don't want to look to you. We want to look to so many other things. Lord, I've realized this week how many things and people and situations and things in my life that I look to instead of looking to your leading. God, we want to live our lives for you. We want to give our lives to you. And so I pray that we will let you guide us. Lord, when your Spirit is saying, I want you to do this, I want you to bless this person, I want you to be concerned about this person's well-being, I want you to take care of that person, I want you to call this friend, I want you to make sure that this person has enough money to pay their bills. Lord, there's so many things that you put in our minds and in our hearts, and we don't follow those things, Lord. We want to be given to you, we want to look to you, we want to be dependent on you, and we want to follow your Spirit, Lord. We want to trust your Spirit. God, help us trust that you are in us, that you have our best interest at heart. And Lord, help us to trust you enough that we're obedient. Lord, we want to be obedient to what you're asking us to do, what you're calling us to do. Lord, if there's anyone in the room that hasn't been obedient, that you've been calling them, you've been saying, I gave my son so that you could know me and so that you could have life. Lord, I pray that they'll be willing to take that step of obedience today, to surrender their life to you, to give their life to you, to live their life for you, and know that you have their best interest at heart, and know that you will guide them. God, some of us just need reminded of that. We've started following our spouse or our boss or the promise of more income, or someone in a relationship, Lord, and we just need to know to trust you and follow you, depend on you, rely on you, and listen to you. So we, God, we pray that we will do that today. It's in your name I pray.